Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So lately I've been thinking about dealing with the stress of my PhD and PhD feedback.
I have not been thinking about my PhD.
I think you have been kind of, though. I mean, because you're finally working in your field.
Yes.
And so I think, does that... Actually, I don't know. Interesting question. We're about to learn something new about Chad. Does working in your field make you think about your PhD more, or does it make your PhD feel more relevant?
It makes it feel more relevant because when I was editing full time, I was still working with the material. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like my nose pressed against the glass. So I feel like I thought
about... With one sad tear rolling down your face?
Yeah, I feel like I thought about feedback a lot more when I was doing that because I was literally seeing feedback. I was seeing the reviews from peer reviewers and that kind of thing. So I was dealing with other people's feedback on their work.
And you were giving feedback.
And I was giving feedback, correct.
Okay, so something I was wondering that I didn't ask... I don't know why I didn't ask you this. Like the
You were saving it for the podcast.
Obviously, we save our best stuff for the podcast, man. Saved it for like 5 years, 6 years now. Oh my gosh. 7 years? No, 6 years. I don't know. Don't ask me about time. It's confusing. So when you were doing editing...
7 years, but...
Yeah, it's really confusing. When you were doing editing, did it make you want to publish?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did it make you want to publish non-academic stuff?
No, it made me want to publish academic stuff. Sometimes I would edit a paper and I would think, I could do this so much better.
Really?
Yeah, but I didn't have the remit to just rewrite their paper for them. It was just like very limited.
So did you want to publish your own original stuff?
Yes, but like in math, it's easier to publish as an outsider, but it's still not easy. It still would have meant a lot of time at the university library to make sure that I was caught up on all the papers and things. Mm-hmm. So math, you get like 80% of papers available through archive, which is open access preprints. But there's still that 20% to check. So there's a lot of stuff around publishing that's different than the stuff around writing. So it made me want to do math. It didn't so much make me want to do all the other stuff around getting published in peer-reviewed journals.
And really... Sadly, in the midst of that time, so you were working on a project and then one of the project members passed away and we still feel the loss.
Correct.
Feel that,
yes,
loss deeply. And I feel like for me, because your path to publication to me felt so involved with their loss,
right,
that it just, I guess I just left it to you to come to me if you wanted to have those conversations, rather than introducing that conversation, because it was quite a big loss for you.
Yeah.
And quite the loss of a big project. So I feel like it was a loss for the world as well. And so it's just a tragedy. I guess it makes me feel really, really sad still.
Yeah.
And so I don't venture there unless I'm feeling quite sturdy. And I don't think I was feeling quite sturdy. As you can see, I'm still not feeling quite sturdy about that.
Yeah, so there are things. Like, I have one thing that I could put in the effort to get published as a paper. So I calculated all of the bridge indices for all of the 12 crossing knots, which is like a long technical explanation of what exactly that means.
Yeah.
And so everybody accepts that I calculated the right ones.
So, yo, if you guys want to know what it means, he loves to talk about it. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on the website. Chad will totally go into it. He has a math. Your math's website is chadmusic.com or something like that.
.wiki.com. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not trying to shut it down. We're just like, we know most of y'all didn't come here for the math. Sorry. Don't mean to like throw salt in wounds, babe.
Yeah.
But I just feel like most of our listeners did not come here for math.
And that's okay.
I don't know what they come here for, but to listen to our rambles and digressions.
Exactly.
Okay, sorry. So you're saying that you have a paper you can publish that's really complex?
Explaining is really complex, but it's basically tabulating a bunch of numbers and things. So, yeah, I have that ready, but it's not publication ready. It's just ready to where everybody accepts that it's correct, and they're using the results, and it's on... Archive is a preprint, so people just cite the preprint if they need it.
Yeah.
So that's been cited, I think, more than one of the papers I actually published.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bring me any career benefits to go through the rigmarole of publishing it. So,
and that's what made me think, that's the other thing that made me think you didn't want to publish, because I knew you had something you could publish.
Yeah.
And you just never done it. So did you want to publish, or did you want to have been published?
I wanted to write, and that's a different thing than wanting to publish.
Yeah. So earlier you said you wanted to publish.
Yeah. Working in publishing is really easy to conflate the two.
Yeah, it is.
So it's taking me a while to shift out of that. Okay, I'm not working in publishing anymore. I don't have to push the line that writing and publication go hand in hand, because they don't. But when your livelihood depends on people publishing, you start to develop the habit of saying that they do.
So for me, like, a pivotal piece of information that I need for my dissertation, the authors who are prolific in their publication did not bother to publish a main point of their argument when they changed their thinking a little bit. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Because they presented it at a conference.
Yeah, but they could have published it as well. So I was like, yeah. Are you kidding me? You publish how many times you brush your friggin' teeth in the morning, and this you don't publish?
So I presented at a conference, and I wrote a paper up, and the journal was like, yeah, but your paper, your talk was kind of short. We want you to do a bunch of extra research. And I was just like, yeah, but I'm not going to. So I can understand.
But they've also written several books.
They have.
Several books.
They have. And I don't pretend to understand the complexities of each specific field. Like, in math, it's really accepted to go give a talk about something and then publish exactly that same thing that you're going to talk about. In medicine, if you go talk about something, you can't publish it anymore because it's not new.
In psychology, when you are the creator of something new, you can publish whatever the heck you want about it.
Okay, so you're not saying it, but I'm saying they should have published that officially rather than just presenting it.
Oh, I'm saying it. And I'm not calling them out by name, because I'm not trying to start any fights, because I still,
okay, yeah.
I still need their grace.
Yeah.
I still need their grace and beauty. What I find so interesting is that, like, I'm in touch with these really, really smart people that all have their PhDs and are like the founders of the discipline that
I'm in. Oh, stop. I'm in. You're embarrassing me.
Yeah, I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome to get emails from them and stuff. And that's, like, really beautiful, gorgeous feedback, and having them unlock papers and release things for me to have access to. That's all really gorgeous and beautiful.
The collegiality that's supposed to be there.
Yeah, it's really nice that it is. Something that's more challenging for me is the feedback process. So just to kind of catch everybody up to where I'm at in my PhD process, because I know you're all hanging on the edge of your seats wondering, but what's going on with Christopher's PhD?
I can hardly breathe waiting for it.
Right? All the childrens are gagging, just like clutching pearls, pulling up to the mic. I mean, rather pulling up to the headphone or whatever. What would they be pulling up to?
They wouldn't be pulling up to anything, because if they're using headphones, like, they're already in. I guess they could be pulling up to the speaker, to the Victrola. That's how outdated you sound.
I didn't say any of that. That's you sounding outdated. So anywho, what was I even talking about?
You were talking about the feedback process.
Okay. Yeah. So where I'm at in my process. So the reason I'm so dazed and confused is I just finished sorting and reading over 150 articles, literally, and ruling out which ones would be included and which ones won't be included, but still having to read them to make sure that they wouldn't be included. And that's just so awesome.
So you're talking about journal articles. You're not talking about grammatical articles, because I'm like, a, an, and the. How long does it take to read 150 of those?
Yeah, and some articles were as short as 12 pages, and the longest one was 253 pages, because I also include dissertations. So those were interesting and fun, and I was completely burnt out and fried, and went straight from, after doing all of that, to writing my introduction for my chapter 2, which is the literature review, which is why I read all of those articles. The process of, after writing my introduction, was I sent it to my chair and co-chair for feedback, and then they give me feedback on that part of it while I'm writing a different part of it, and then I send that to them. So first I sent them the outline, then I sent them the introduction, and then I send them each section for them to give me critique on. So they either tear my heart out and show me my beating heart and then stuff it back in my chest, or they just say, there, move along. And I never know which one it's going to be.
Like there's no in-between option. They can't tear your heart out and show it to you, but not put it back in.
They have to put it back in my chest or I'll die.
Okay.
So that's what the process feels like for me. It's
Yeah.
not a happy process for me
No.
at all.
I don't think it's a happy process for anybody. I think like the process of getting your research feedback from a collaborator, somebody you're doing it with, is very different than getting formal feedback.
Yes. And so everyone right now who's not working on their PhD is enjoying the holiday season and enjoying the winter break. And where I'm like, yay, no client work. I can really dig into some of the feedback that my chair and co-chair have given me and just write. It's like, yay, 2 weeks of, writing for 14 days every day. And that's my life. So I'm really happy that hopefully next quarter break, next term break, that I can just take 2 weeks off and not work on my PhD because I haven't taken any time off from my PhD in the past year
Yeah,
and I'm beginning to feel it.
that would be nice. That's not my experience with working on a PhD either. It's just full on for the entire time you're there, but it would be nice to be able to have a couple weeks off.
Well, and my chair asked every quarter at the end of every quarter, hey, do you think maybe this would be a great time to take some time off? And I'd be like, not yet. So last time during the break, I actually finished my final residency, which was significant and profound and happy making that's done. And it clearly puts me in a different place. And so I'm like, okay, now there's nothing left but the writing. And so that feels really good. But the writing is tough, and I
You're
feel like
cruising
I'm,
down the highway, but it's still a long road.
yeah, and so I'm just trying to make it through like the next 2 months, and then I'm gonna fall down and take some time off. I'm gonna take a week off of work, and I'm gonna like get a bunch of TV shows to just binge watch. So, hey, if you guys have any bingeable TV shows, I probably already watched them, but because I consume like just mad crazy amounts of television. I watch about 4 hours of television a day.
Yes. You ask me, hey, find me a show and I'll give you a list. You'll be like, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it, seen it. Oh,
Yeah.
wait, I haven't heard of this one. Oh, nope. Haven't seen it, don't want to.
So I wish I was into rewatching shows, but I'm not. 'Cause Blood in the Wire, oh my God, I could do with something really bloody
Wire in the
and
Blood.
Wire in the Blood, is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay. So, because I could really go for a TV show where people are just screaming. I want tortured screams, just tortured screams. Because sometimes I want the world to howl with me. And that's kind of where my head's at. Not to bring everybody down during this holiday season, but that's.
That wouldn't necessarily bring down people. We might have werewolves among our listeners.
And so, yeah, there's nothing that I didn't save anything for myself. And I wish that I had. Save some things to binge watch, but usually Sunday I just lay in bed and don't talk and stare at the TV and binge watch. So, like any good sci-fi shows, probably seen them, but go ahead and send them our way. So, because I could really use a break. I'm burnt out. That's how I feel today. I feel exhausted mentally and emotionally, just completely drained, and like I need a vacation. Like nobody's business.
Ready for this decade to end.
Yes, I really am. I really am. And so I knew that I was feeling burnt out at the end of my residency. So before the residency even began, I knew that I was going to need something that was going to rip my chapter two from, I think of it as like reaching in and tearing it out of my soul violently in a bloody way. And I thought, what would motivate me to do that. And so I took a course that is writing chapter two that's forcing me to rip it from my soul because the one thing that I did not do, and I'm kicking myself for it, I was kicking myself for it for like 3 months, is I hadn't documented my research process for how I gathered articles. And so by taking this course, I have a documented way of how I found all of my articles. And so I can write that page
I find this
on
so
search
interesting
method.
because I didn't have to do any of this because of my field.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not sure that I have to do it. Like, I have to be able to discuss it, but I'm not sure if I have to be able to include it. So being having it nice and neatly written down, it allows people to look at it and be like, okay, your research method for finding articles were sound, and we feel fairly certain that it's been exhaustive and extensive. So I have to answer, how do I know that my literature review is exhaustive?
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Because I'm exhausted, motherfuckers. I'm exhausted.
Because the previous company I worked for, we got paid a couple of times to do these kind of searches and document them. Mm-hmm. So, and I was involved in setting them up, but mm-hmm. I never actually went and did the searches.
Okay.
Because we had a Japanese staff member go and do that at their university, where they could access all the articles too, so that it could be done in English and in Japanese. Mm. So I'm familiar with the process, but I've never done it because math doesn't require it.
So I have a research plan, and I did it, and it's documented now, and
right.
I'm happy to have had that done. And I'm happy that I know myself well enough to know that I needed to be enrolled in a course, because
right.
I'm like, I will not fail.
Yes.
I will not get an unsatisfactory.
I will not give you a reason to criticize me.
Yes. Like, if it's pass or no pass, I'm going to get a super pass. What?
You're going to get an express pass, a fast lane. You're going to go straight to Thunder Mountain.
Yes, I am. And it also, for my school's a little bit different in that you have to write your term plan. And I just ran out of gas on writing those. Mm. I'm like, I'm reading. Like, all the previous quarter, I was just writing, reading. Every week it was like, I'm still reading. Still reading.
I think that's one of the things that people who haven't done online school don't know, is how much extra you have to do because you're online.
Yeah, because they don't see you. Because
I did my master's online and then my doctorate in person. And my doctorate in person, I wouldn't have to fill out a plan because I would just go talk to my advisor.
Yeah.
Like, the study was harder for the doctorate, but all the stuff around it was significantly harder for my master's.
Yes.
So, mad respect to anybody doing school online. It is not easier than doing it in person.
No, it's not.
It makes it possible for people who have mobility issues or can't get out or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
It is. And so, like, my term plan, I have to write the first 5 weeks what I think they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then each week I have to write a reflection on whether or not I achieved those goals.
Yeah.
And they become part of my official documentation for what I've done each quarter.
Which kind of takes the place of having lunch. I would just go have lunch once a week.
Yes. So I'm super, super fortunate because they also want a weekly phone call. I hate talking on the phone, and I feel really bad because my chair loves talking on the phone. And she's been awesome and gracious enough to have me not talk on the phone. Like, talking on the phone makes me so anxious because it's so unpredictable, and I can't read intonation as well as I can facial expressions.
Mm.
And I'm also hard of hearing. So if we do a video chat, I don't really like those either. And then it's an awkward time, and it takes me out of my head, because if I do it on a day before I go to work, usually I'm doing client prep. And if I do it on a day that I don't go to work, I'm usually just busy. I'm so mentally busy that I don't have time for a phone call. And I'm really fortunate that my chair is like, okay, this month, this quarter, you can skip it, but next quarter, we're doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hopefully every other quarter type of thing. Because I don't really have anything to say. I'm reading.
Yeah, she has been quite accommodating because you're making steady progress. Because you can show all the work you've done.
Yes. And so having evidence of the work I've done and all of that, I think, is very fortunate.
So that feedback has to go two ways. She gives you feedback, and your co-chair gives you feedback, but you also are giving them feedback on how you're doing and on what you need from them and such. I know it's not the same level of power. There's a disparity.
It's completely not the same level of power. I have no power.
Yeah.
I have none. I have all the power. That I'm very lucky that my chair and co-chair are not egotistical. And they're very, very, very professional in their feedback. It's just,
three varies. That is...
Yeah, because I feel like Erica Badu, you know? Just keep in mind, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to be like, you got to call Tyrone. I was like, I don't even know who that is. Is that like your external editor? I thought I was your external editor.
Ew. just like ill face and everything, nose curled, like, yuck, I don't want that on me anywhere. Like, what the hell was that?
Well, I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to copyright violate, but I could sing it perfectly if it weren't for copyright.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say I could
that
sing...
That you're a liar and perpetrating frauds?
I'm not trying to say that.
Damn, now I have like the most massive craving for an apple. I have no idea why. Every
you
time
always
I record,
get,
yeah. I get like crazy food cravings. And this episode's crazy food craving is an apple. I'm about to turn something on that beeps. I don't even think they can hear the beep.
Oh, they'll hear that beep.
I don't think so. But you think they will?
Yeah, I think people should let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
Did you
hear the
beep? Just tweet us, I heard the beep. And it opened up my eyes.
So I feel like I haven't been as neurotic as I was when I was writing my prospectus. I feel like I've been a lot calmer.
I do feel like this is a calmer process. And I feel like part of that is that the prospectus, your school was changing what they wanted in the prospectus.
Yeah.
While you were doing it.
Yeah.
So now if you had done it like 3 months later, it would be a completely different process.
Yes.
And so I feel like that's one additional disadvantage of online programs is that they try and evolve them. And I feel like brick and mortar, like when you show up, they try and keep them the same for decades. Like
yeah.
When I was at Berkeley, it was like a big deal. You know, we've been around for 100 and I forget what it was at the time. It's not quite 150 years. Like, why would we change things now? We're going to do it exactly how we've always done it. Which, that's a sham. It's not exactly how they've always done it. They do change with the times, but it's a lot slower.
So, you've gotten a lot of education post-PhD.
Yes.
Do you think you'll do any more?
I think I might do more MOOCs. So I did a certificate course through Coursera, and I enjoyed that. I might do more of those to pick up specific skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel a need to get any additional accreditation. I have 4 certifications. I have like a bachelor's and a master's and a PhD and a postgrad certificate in education. At this point, I'm feeling like that's...
And the MBA thing?
Yeah, the postgrad certificate in education. I didn't finish the MBA because... I didn't want to do the boring parts. So I got kind of like a half MBA.
Okay.
I don't feel like I'm going to want any more formal education. But
because of the feedback system?
Yeah, because of the feedback system, because the, like, and I just don't see the value added at this point. But I'll definitely be doing more self-education.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the company I'm working for is very supportive of self-education. And I have a budget. I don't know exactly how much it is, but I have some budget for if I need to take paid classes or whatever.
And for people that do a second PhD, I always want to get all up in their business. Where's that money coming from?
Yeah, like...
Like, where's the money and motivation? Because I'm doing one PhD and out. I am done. Drop the mic. Walk away.
Okay, like, speaking of that, there's this show called Bull that's on Amazon Prime Japan. I don't know
don't get me started.
I don't know if that's on Amazon Prime elsewhere or if it's on other services, but the first episode, he's like, I have 3 PhDs
in psychology.
In psychology.
In psychology.
And my reaction to that was, no, you fucking don't. Okay. You just don't. Nobody does.
No. No. That's just so stupid.
Right.
What he's saying is so stupid.
And I was like, okay, so not a single person who worked on this TV show had a PhD.
Yeah,
or has even
one.
Looked into doing one.
Not one. Because as soon as you get one PhD, we look at what you've done.
Yet they're so reluctant. They're so reluctant to let somebody with a PhD into a PhD program.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to go get an MD, I could maybe do that. But if I want to go get a PhD in, let's say, statistics, they'd tell me no. They'd laugh at me. They'd be like, you have a PhD in mathematics. We are not going to let you into our program for statistics. Just write some stats papers. And everybody will accept that you have the knowledge.
Yeah, it would have been more accurate to say, I have a PhD in forensic psychology and I developed this science.
Right. Like for lawyers, they don't go back for a second JD.
Hey, I'm the founding father of trial science or some crap like that.
Right. For lawyers, they can't be like, I have 3 JDs. No, there's the program called LLMs where you can go back for continuing legal education, just like continuing medical education, like most fields have continuing education. You don't go back for a second degree at the same level. Master's is a little different. You can go back for a second master's, but PhD, they just once you know how to research, you know how to research. If you want to switch fields, collaborate on some research in that field and generally just gradually move.
That's good advice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So for me, I'm in that chapter two hell where I'm writing my lit review. Then after I write my lit review, I get the joy of writing my methodology section, which I am dreading. Oh, shit on a shingle. I'm not gonna be able to take off the next quarter, or maybe I should take off the next quarter, but I don't know. Because I have a course that I have to take before I write my method section. I have to take a course on the method that I'm using. Maybe I should do that during.
While you're writing out the method.
No, I should do that during the term or
Yeah.
in between.
During the
I am
term.
snowblind. I am in a blizzard and snowblind.
Yeah.
It's just so overwhelming.
During the term, I'm just telling you.
But I feel like I need to ask my chair.
You do need to ask your chair.
Like,
But
can I have your permission to pretty please take the next
your chair
Two
has,
weeks, just
your
take two
chair
weeks
has,
off in between quarters because I am snow blind.
your chair has consistently encouraged you to do so.
Yeah. So I'm always curious, are y'all going for PhDs? Like, what's y'all's education path? For me, one of my main passions for getting a PhD is because I'm a former foster child and there just aren't enough of us. I'm a former foster child. I'm also African American, Cherokee and Jewish. And so for me,
So just to clarify,
and a
you mean
woman.
foster children with PhDs. You're not advocating for the creation of more foster children.
The hell are you saying?
You said I'm a former foster child and there aren't enough of us. And I think you meant in the PhD process or who have done PhDs.
Yes, that's what I mean. I think our
Okay.
listeners can follow.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. Ugh. You see, I'm just frazzled today.
It's something
And
like
Chad just likes keep coming. Chad is just like a,
Oh, I am full on. It's
yes, you are full on.
something like 3% of foster children get their bachelor's degree, so.
Yeah. And I want foster kids to know that they can do it.
Yes.
I want, which is, in our episode zero, which is now a Patreon exclusive. So you can, for $2, you can go listen to our episode zero and hear all about that.
Okay, for $2 you get a month of access, which if you listen for like 3 hours a day, you'll get through all the episodes.
Like 25 episodes
Yeah, they don't have to listen an
archived,
hour a day to
and I
get
think
through
we
a
only have
month.
15. I think like this week we're archiving more, so I don't know. We're like in the process of trying to figure out what our archival process is
In
going to
any
be.
case, it's only like an hour a day to catch up in a month. If you're so cheap that you're going to cancel after a month. I think if you listen, you're going to be like, whoa, I need to su support these people.
Completely ridiculous, and I am so punch drunk today. I am so just emotionally fraught and drained.
Yeah, you're
This
laughing
is
at my
me.
jokes, so that.
Yes, no, I always laugh at your jokes.
Yes.
Well, most of them. I laugh at the funny ones.
That's what you always say.
If I don't laugh, it's not funny.
Yeah, that is such a hurtful phrase.
Is it? If I
Yeah,
don't laugh, it's not funny.
that kind of feedback is very difficult for me.
Are you trying to circle us back around?
I am trying to circle
But I
us
have
back
said
around.
everything I need to say about the feedback process. It has left me fried and confused.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. Thinking is please just approve my shit.
Yeah.
Please just let me move on.
I worked really
Just let
hard
it
on
be
this.
done. Just let it be done.
Well, I remember how it was with your prospectus. With your prospectus, like your first feedback was like, this is terrible, everything you've done. Like, how did you even
Yes.
dare send this to us?
Yes.
And then the second draft was like, this is terrible, but maybe a little bit better. And then the third draft was like, wow, you're a wonderful writer. One of these things is not like the others. So I know that your writing process can be kind of opaque to other people. Like, how do you
kind of. Yeah. My writing process is completely opaque.
How do you take on feedback?
People cannot figure out my thinking or my reasoning. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery to people. Like, even as their therapist, my reasoning and how I get to someplace, I always make sure to unpack it for them. And I do, like, hand motions. I, like, hold up fingers, like, this point is one, this point is two. Do you see how I get from here to here? And most time they say, can you say that again, please?
She's signaling to me that somebody just made a field goal.
What are you saying?
You do the one with one hand and the two with the two, and then you're doing the referee signal for field goal.
What are you talking about?
Football. I'm talking about American football.
Why aren't you talking about how we can't have the fan on?
We can't have the fan on because it makes too much noise. And you're still roasting.
In December, it's still roasting hot.
We have a well-insulated apartment.
We do. And you're just like, heat is just wafting off of your sexiness.
I am. I am a fire god.
The fire god of sex. I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't need to. I need to stop playing with my cords.
You do need to stop playing with your
cords. It's probably just going to be like...
Yeah, the whole issue is probably static. We'll do our best to remove the static.
I think I promise almost every episode to not have a lot of static.
No, it's only like every fifth episode.
Only like every fifth episode? I've stopped doing it every episode?
Yeah.
I don't know why right now I'm doing like a really bad robot.
You are.
So, I think we need to talk a little bit about the new year, and I think this would be a good time for us to hash out, like, the archival plan, because we're going to start archiving more regularly at regular intervals in 2020, and how Patreon's going to work and such, just so that, you know, the listeners understand what we're doing, what our thinking is, and why we're doing it, because I don't want anybody to feel punished, and I don't want to price people out of their ability to listen to the podcast. But we are going to every 2 or 3 months, I think. Or was it every 3 months? Did you want to do it on a quarterly basis?
What I want to do is I want to do it on a monthly basis. But there will always be at least 2 months available. So if somebody out there is listening and you haven't had time to listen for a month, you could still catch up. So each month, I intend to archive 2 months back.
3 months ago.
Yeah, the 3 months ago.
So say like the month. So like January would be archived at the end of March.
Correct. Because at the end of March, you'd still have February and March available, but you wouldn't have January available after the end of March.
Okay. And at the end of April, you wouldn't have February available.
Correct.
And so we're doing a big arc. We're getting ready to do a big archive now.
Right.
And when something's archived, what that means is that it becomes a Patreon exclusive episode. And at our Patreon level start at $2. And so for $2, you can get access to all of the archived materials.
Right. And for most of you who use podcatchers, you won't see any difference because most of them don't display all historical episodes. They only display 8 or 10 or so.
Yeah, because I think like iTunes is like that.
Yeah. So you can always go to our website and see every episode that we have available, not through Patreon. But if you've been keeping up, you won't see any change. If you only listen once a month, you'll still be able to listen to all of them. But if you want to listen to older stuff, or if you just want to be nice, you can go to Patreon and subscribe and get access to every episode from zero on.
And then we also have Take Twos. The Take Twos used to be written, but we just don't have as much time as we used to. And so now we're doing like a behind the scenes conversation in our Take Twos where we talk about how it felt to record the episode and any thoughts that we didn't share during the episode.
Right.
And that's our Take Twos. And it's Chad's perspective on it and my perspective on it. And we're gearing up. Part of the reason why we're making these changes is because we're trying to find more time so that we can record a second podcast called Disabled Is Not Broken to talk about the various things that we have going on with disability and how disability impacts our lives. And for that, we might bring on like special guests every now and then to talk about different aspects of it and have guests and stuff. So we're trying to make room to add a podcast in 2020, but we don't have a launch date yet on that. We're like getting art together and all of that kind of stuff.
Doing all that planning. Yeah. And we're two working disabled people, and we have lots of friends who...
And someone who's doing their PhD, so...
Yeah, and we have lots of friends who are working or in education or unable to work or disabled. So
yeah,
we can get different perspectives on that.
So we're still working out like the different topics and our approach and the artwork and all of that. And that will be homed, that will be housed on the Musics in Japan website. And it'll have its own Facebook page, just like the Musics in Japan do. And the reason why we're talking about it on this episode is just to loop you guys in and let you know what's to come and why we're making changes, because we don't want anybody to feel hurt or left out or priced out of being able to enjoy the podcast, because that's not what we're about.
Yeah, as long as you listen more often than every 6 weeks, you can keep up.
So if you're not listening more often than every 6 weeks, Chad's saying straight up, get to listening.
Right?
And so I think we're going to do, I'm not sure if we're doing a big archive in January. It depends on when I do the, I like to do an announcement on Twitter and give everybody about 30 days. So it might be at the end of January. Not sure. Sorry, guys, that we can't have firm dates. But again, it depends on like my energy level and
when I can get those tweets out. We've been announcing it. We started announcing it at the end of October. So I think we're going to do it.
You think we're going to do it?
Yeah, and it's straightforward for me. I know how to do it because I've done it before.
So we're doing the big archival at the end of January.
Beginning of January.
So beginning of January, we're doing the big archive, and then we'll start doing it every 3 months then?
Correct. So okay. November and December will still be available all throughout January. And then in February, November will be archived.
Yeah, and so we're going to put a post on our Facebook page explaining it written out so that you guys can refer to it there. Visit our Facebook page. Or you can send us questions about it on the website. Or you can tweet at us if you have any questions about how it's going to work. I don't know if I did a good job explaining it. I don't think I did a good job at all. I think Chad did a better job explaining
it. Call us, send us a telegram, whatever.
No, we just discussed how I don't like talking on the phone.
They don't have our number.
But even if they did, don't call.
Even if they did, don't call.
And I don't know what it is with
operators are not standing by.
Operator. Oh, we can't say anymore because we don't want to get copyright.
Yeah, don't.
But we're not on YouTube, so we don't get copyright strikes and all that stuff on podcasts, do they?
But you could still get a complaint. Like the
a
radio.
A complaint of what?
The radio people, the RIAA or whatever, could come after you and be like, you.
People.
You sang this song. Yeah, because YouTube, they have the agreement with all the different labels, which is why you can post music, because YouTube already pays a licensing fee.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about if you post a
then
popular song.
Then how come people are getting copyright claimed?
Because they're not using things that are copyrighted by the big labels that YouTube has agreements with. So, like, let's say you post an Adele song in your video. Mm-hmm. You can't monetize that video. But YouTube has an agreement with Adele's recording label to where Adele gets a little bit of money every time that video is played if it's Adele's music in it. Mm-hmm. What people are doing copyright strikes on is people commenting on their videos and using parts of their videos, because YouTube doesn't have an agreement to where you can just use other people's stuff.
So if you hear like a fanning sound, that's me fanning myself because I get something that I call exhaustion fevers. So like when I'm super tired, I run a fever. Which I think is so weird.
Yeah.
And so, like, the beeping sound is me checking my temperature over and over again. So I want to make sure...
that you're not overheating.
Yeah. And I am completely overheating.
You are.
So I'm running, like, a low temperature because...
A high temperature. A low fever.
What did I say?
You said a low temperature.
I have a fever. I can't be expected to be accurate.
Okay.
So I know this episode was a little bit shorter than usual, or about average length. I don't know, but we're close to 40 minutes on it, and that's all I have for today.
Yeah. So we'll
Thanks
talk to you
listening.
Soon.
Yeah. Bye. Bye-bye. Hey, go to our Patreon and check out the take two if you want more. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled M-U-S-I-C-K-S. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.